Oh, yeah.
You know, that beginning always makes me, it reminds me of the...
What?
What?
What? What's wrong, Colonel? Can Colonel not hear us?
I don't know. I can hear you. Colonel! Speak, say something.
Colonel can hear us. All right, well, fuck you, Colonel. Hey guys, welcome to Death Curse Society. Sorry for the mix up there, but yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Creepshow. So, what up? Let us know if you've seen the latest episode and chat with us about it.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me talk to Colonel here.
Yeah. I'll get it going here. I was just going to say, the beginning of that Slash report always reminds me of like the Pepto-Bismol commercials from back in the 80s when the coating of
Yeah. Gee, thanks. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah, Patricia's saying, hey, Colonel, what?
Right, while Colonel's figuring out his shit. Hello, Patricia. Hello, Brucey. Brucey's in the house.
A yellow supersonic shirt. Ha!
You mean a Thunder shirt? No, it's not. It's The Shining, but ha!
Colonel's going to reboot, looks like. Something happened. I could hear him before we went live.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, dude. So we got to go to this for a minute. All right. Yeah! Welcome to the show, guys. We're not really planning this one very much, but yeah, we're going to talk about Creepshow. They dropped a new episode today. Got two segments in it, one called The Right Snuff, and then another one called Sibling Rivalry. We're going to chat first about The Right Snuff, of course. If you guys have seen it, let us know what you thought. A little sci-fi thriller going on with this one. Two men stuck in a orbiting space station, and they are sent on a different mission to make contact with aliens. Ziggy, what'd you think of this one right off the bat?
It was interesting. Again, I'll say it. I don't feel either one of these two episodes were as good as week one, but I did dig the direction, at least the Right Snuff took. It definitely had its moments of dread and pretty cool ending. But, you know, I had issues with it, but the stories are okay. I don't know. That first one seems like it should have been maybe an hour long, a full, like, you needed an hour to tell that story that way to build that tension like that. 24 minutes, man. That's rough.
See, I don't think they needed that much time. I think that was all right to be as short as it was. You could definitely tell there was a conflict between the two characters right off the bat, yeah. And that kind of grew. I like the way that did grow as the episode went on. The damn it, I want Colonel in here when we talk about that, but I want to talk about the aliens and the look of them. By the way, this is going to be spoilery, so if you have not seen it, definitely make sure to watch it before you listen to us. Come back and listen to us later. Man, I don't know. I couldn't really get into this. It was all right, but it wasn't great. You know?
Hey! I'm back. Now I can hear.
Okay. You had me worried there for a little bit.
Well, remember before we went live, I was like, it's saying I need to restart my computer for audio, and then like it just shut out everything.
It tried to tell you.
Couldn't have done this to 15 minutes before we went live. I was logged in, just sitting here like,
So, Colonel, first impressions of The Right Snuff, the first episode of, or first segment of the new episode of Creepshow.
Good sense of tension. It had like a nice little throwback, sci-fi throwback feel to it at the end. I'm going to try to be spoiler-free here until we get to the spoilers.
Oh, I already said we're going to be spoilering the fuck out of us.
I know, but I want you guys to say what you got to say before we get there. Some decent blood for what it was. And not a total letdown, just kind of a meh. It was all right.
Yeah, I was just saying, this one, I don't know. it didn't ring right for me for some reason. It just didn't sit right. It was a decent story. It was a decent way to tell it. You know, does sci-fi belong in Creepshow? I guess that's a question. Colonel?
Man, it's a fucking a comic book. Yeah, it belongs. It falls in that area. I'll allow it. Let me say it. I'll allow it.
Fair enough. Well, this isn't necessarily about the episode, but Dave was wondering about you for a minute. He said, Colonel phoned in diarrhea. I don't know exactly what that means, but then he says, there he is.
There he is.
Almost. But no.
By the way, Dave, check out the shop. You did ask for a Canadian customer's version of the Smith's Grove shirt that is available now. By the way, if you guys have not checked out our latest release in the store, it's the Smith's Grove School of Driving t-shirt. It's available now. You can pick that up at shop.deathcursesociety.com. And damn, almost forgot this too. We just got right in. The audio error just screwed me up. I want to also thank our members too while we're thinking about it. We've got a new one, by the way. Mr. Angelo Mariano joined us in the Crazy Ralph's department. He is now a member. And then, of course, our final girls and guys, Chris Faze, Lorena Faze, Christy Hart-Hoy, Luke Knutson, and Tyrone Swigert. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies, for supporting the show. We do appreciate it.
You know what? Better than a golf clap, you get one of these. Wow.
Already, hey, huh?
Much better.
Already, huh?
Did you forget, Zag, what we're supposed to do? I know my audio going out fucked everything up.
Yeah, that threw it all off. It's all right, though.
Next week.
We'll do it next week. We'll save it.
Okay.
We'll fucking do it live.
Ziggy, what do you think? Does sci-fi belong in Creepshow?
Sure. Okay. There is absolutely a level of dread that I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Like, they don't really go with those really, like, oh my god endings where even the winner is completely fucked, you know, kind of where you find out that they're hung. This one kind of had that, you know, in a big way, which was kind of cool. I liked it. It did drag a bit, but it was it's still a decent story. I wasn't too cool with the alien appearance. They needed to stop shooting it from the angle they were shooting it from. If you're gonna use,
you mean that straight on?
No. That was fine. It's the one where they kept showing him from the back.
Oh, behind?
Yeah, man. I've seen better fucking toys sculpted for my kid. You know what I mean? That, you know, if you're gonna have an alien like that, man, you needed a bucket of slime to pour over him to make that shit work like that. I mean, but it wasn't something really about, you know, that.
Something, yeah. Brucey is asking, what is the rating on Creepshow? I guess it'd be TVMA.
Yeah.
But
they curse, and yeah. There's tits.
But it's not that bad. Why are you worried about it, Brucey? You're old enough.
Yeah. Oh, we know you don't have Shudder, so you're not going to watch it.
Yeah, you're not going to watch it until it's on, like, AMC sometime, maybe in, like, October or November.
By then, it'll probably be 13, you know, MA-13 or whatever they call it anymore. I don't even
TV-13.
TV-13. Well, fuck them that way.
So, Colonel, were you impressed by the design of the alien in this?
Impressed? No.
Or let down? Bothered?
No. Again, it fits Creepshow. We're talking a comic book from the 50s. It fits in this world. Did it look, like I said, did it look great? Fuck no. It's a spoiler. It's a fucking praying mantis with a brain sticking out and fucking skull, like, okay, but it fits in Creepshow. It gets that pass. I mean, you gotta remember, I was only one, like, the puppetry from last week. So it passes. Yeah. I'm still having a hard time trying to figure out how they hid, but that's a discussion for later.
Yeah, fair enough. This one, the alien, when he first pops up on screen, I was just like, that's it. That's what they're giving us. I'm almost worried that the entire Creepshow creative nut was blown in the first episode, and the other six or five that we're getting are going to be like this. And I'm really worried about that. So,
I think the payoff is worth it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
The payoff for this episode? Yeah. Yeah, no, that first one was wonderful. I loved it. And I think it just built up my anticipation for the rest of the season. Like, all right, is this what we're getting? And no, it's not. Not yet.
I still think there's some gems coming our way. There's no fucking way they were just going to have two stellar episodes like that back to back and then go average or below average. Right. The way. There's no way. There's no way.
Ooh. Danny Gill makes a good point. They had a sci-fi type story in the original Creepshow with the meteor that turned Steve King into the green grass thing. Yep. As Patricia says, meteor shit. That's right. Yeah. True.
Meteor shit fucking stuffy storage. I got it somewhere. Not about that con. That'll be my mascot.
Our friends in the Cuddle Cult make those. Yes.
Yeah, the Cuddle Cult people, yeah. Yeah, I remember that, of course, but this one just seemed so far out of place for me. It just didn't seem like it fit in the normal Creepshow storytelling thing. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just off. Maybe I'm just having a weird day and not sure about it, but all right, do we talk about the ending? Can we talk about the ending without giving it away?
Let's see if we'll give it. Shit, I guess we could without giving it away, which I know is going to lead to us giving it away.
It's going to give away. There's no way you can tell it. Either we do or we don't.
Maybe let's not then. I will say this much. I thought the ending was the best part of the whole.
It's critical to the story. So.
Yeah,
I agree with that. It was definitely.
Yeah, and it definitely tied everything together in a way, but still, this one just seemed light for me. Ziggy, thoughts on the ending before we, without giving it away, hopefully.
I'm telling you, it is chock full of dread, and the idea of this happening to you would be absolutely terrifying if it was you in the shoes of the person at the end of this episode. But I mean, it's fucked beyond unfucking the end of this movie. So, I mean, it's, but I liked it. That was absolutely, this is what I mean when, you know, even those that are the shadiest and the dirtiest are going to get their just desserts too. And they need to do that more in this series. And here they did. So it is good. It's definitely good.
Colonel, how about you? Was the ending satisfying?
Definitely. Fucking definitely. The perfect ending. I was going to be an asshole and say something and possibly spoil it. But I'm going to stop myself. Getting no loose ends. Just like Zag said, get what's fucking coming to you, buddy. And it's perfect. That's the ending we like. We all know it. So...
All right, fine. We can spoil it. The alien starts fucking the astronaut in the eyeballs, and it's the weirdest thing you've ever seen in your life. I couldn't believe they put it on even Shudder.
Yeah, and then when he finishes the deed, the alien eats his fucking head.
Right.
He's praying mantis style. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing, man.
Yeah, but as he's finishing off the eye fucking, he lets out this primordial roar.
Dead horse. Now, we'd only use it twice.
Monday when that horse is really going to get fucking beaten.
You wait and see. Who are we going to name this guy here? We got to give him. I say we call him Ralph. It's a tribute to Crazy Ralph. Let's just call him our mascot Ralph, because he's. We need. Well, maybe we could throw it on the fans here. Who's gonna? What do we name this guy? Because
I can't remember who said it Monday, but I think someone called him Wino. Said Lion-O, Wino. Oh,
yeah.
Wino.
Yeah, I think that's fucking perfect.
That was one of the...
That works.
off the top fire jokes. Boom.
Yeah. Wino works.
Wino? Okay. Wino. The DCS mascot. But yeah, you're going to see more of him. So
he'll probably end up on a shirt at some point down the road. Oh,
I think it's funny. After like a month and a half, we finally get away from the Mentos commercials, and people we got about another month and a half of the same joke over and over and over again.
Till we find the next one.
Till he finds another one. All right. Anything else to add on the right snuff?
One thing I don't know if it was mentioned. It has absolutely nothing to really do with the story or the plot. The streak continues. They've even gone below the C list, dug deep into the D list, and we have Breckenmeyer.
Breckenmeyer, right
there for all to enjoy.
It was cool to see him, though. You know, after and the character was kind of, he played something I'd never seen him do before. Just the way he carried that character and spoke, I thought was neat. You know, he was believable in that role.
He did a good job. I ain't shitting on his acting. I'm just saying, I was like, Breckenmeyer.
Yeah. I was like, I know this guy. And I was like, oh.
But yeah, I haven't seen him
pretty much wait when his glasses come off.
That's pay close attention to the opening fucking credits now to see what C or D lister we're going to fucking get. And I love it.
I did see a bunch of Easter eggs to various space movies.
No, I'll throw them out. Mention them.
I'll just name one. 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Okay. What'd you see?
There's a... one of the things, like one of the bays has a writing on it, would be like, you know, A24, it was hell.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Very nice. I thought the ship that they were in, when you're looking at the eye, basically, kind of reminded me of hell a little bit. I don't know if that was.
Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, when it was flying around, I was kind of like the way the episode starts, the creep. He's got an eyeball, and he's sticking it into the eye holder of the telescope. Right. And
it's the Oculus.
Yeah, the Oculus. The ship is kind of shaped like a fucking detached eye.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Bless you, Colonel. Couldn't get to that mute button.
Bullshit. Let's go.
Bless you, boys. All right.
Yeah, and I think the ship is even called Ocula or something that, if I remember correctly.
Ocula,
Yeah. Well, cool.
It's not bad. They've had much worse so far. I mean, this one, I would say out of the six we've seen, I'll put it at 3 or 4.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Patricia says, or Dave says, shirts with Thundercat, dude. Dude's a legend. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
No, yeah,
hell, I might start working on that tonight. Who knows?
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Monday Maniacs from Death Curse Society. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stick around.
The Death Curse Society has just become an associate producer on the film.
Yes.
Bravo. Bravo. Death Curse Society, guys, is so awesome. I met the guys, all three of the guys, at Indianapolis last year for Horror Hack. And I met those dudes, and I got to tell you, like, I hung out with them. We took pictures. I signed some stuff. They gave me a T-shirt. It was awesome. They are awesome guys. So super cool. I am so glad to have them on board this campaign and also on board the film. And now they are going to be IMDb credited as producers on this movie.
Thanks for tuning in to the official Death Curse Society podcast, gang. Did you know we also have a website? Well, God damn it, we do. DeathCurseSociety.com. Get over there. Check it out. Look at all the stuff we've got. We've got all our YouTube episodes on there. We've got a membership program. We've got our store. You can buy some cool-ass shit. So get over there, DeathCurseSociety.com, and check it out. Woo!
All right, let's move on to the next segment of this episode to talk about it a little bit. It's called Sibling Rivalry. And speaking of C-list stars, woo, it's got an appearance from Molly Ringwald, baby.
Wow.
It was kind of hard for me to notice her at first. I was like, I've seen her before.
Well, yeah.
Before. But then eventually, I ain't gonna lie, once the name came up on the screen, I was like, oh, that's who that is.
I recognized her voice almost immediately. I was like, what? Where'd she come from? I haven't seen her since, I think she did like a guest spot on Psych several years back. I don't know if you guys ever watched that show, but that I love that show. Colonel, initial thoughts on sibling rivalry?
Very easy to figure out the twist. I figured that out fairly quickly into the episode. Most of it's told from the perspective of a 14-year-old girl. But she's fucking absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought she did a great job. I found this episode very enjoyable. I liked it. It was fun. It was a fun watch. I'm going to say it's great, but just the whole how she thinks she's pregnant and this other shit. I'm like, what? It's fucking funny.
I can see where you would think there were some good laughs in there. Again, my idea of comedy is a little bit different. Some of the weird, stupid humor I just don't get. But this was not that bad, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Ziggy, your initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, Doug, come right out, and it's, you know, a girl in a counselor's office in school, and, you know, my brother's trying to kill me. All right. This is interesting. Why do you think? And then she goes and starts explaining why she thinks her brother's trying to kill her. And, you know, the counselor is just not buying it. You know, she says, oh, geez, what can I say just to get this kid moved on and on to my regular day, whatever it is.
What I liked about that, though, and such, you know, maybe I'm being an asshole for making an assumption of something I don't know. We all know teenagers. I mean, she started off like fucking 2 days before she even got to where my brother's trying to kill me. They're like, "What's it? Well, tell me about your brother." Hello, backstory. I got to tell you what happened.
And it's right. Going. Right. Listen, right. Linda.
Yep. You know, she's good. She is good as the 14-year-old or 15-year-old, just clueless type, as if, you know, Alicia Silverstone would have been proud of this performance. She's good. She is really good. And then, and as you start to figure out what's happening, I just wish these. I really do wish these episodes were an hour long. I think they do. Some of the stuff does get rushed, and I just think they could build it a lot better, and the payoffs would be a lot bigger if they did that. But here we are again. We got our 24 minutes, and things start falling into place. You think you got a handle on it, and then the obvious twist that comes your way. And
oh, my Lord.
It's entertaining, but, man, the ending sucked. The ending fucking sucked.
That was kind of weak. Yeah, that was kind of weak.
Don't you shake it at me, Colonel.
Colonel kind of touched on this. Did you appreciate Molly Ringwald's touch on the counselor?
She's like a pro.
The way she handled herself?
She's a pro. She's a fucking pro. And she still got it. And yes, she absolutely nailed it. It's somebody who has got to listen to the way these fucking kids talk these days. And that's the pain you're going to feel when you're seeing how she's reacting to it. And it's perfect. So yeah, she nailed it. It was really good seeing her again now. But, you know, just fucked up seeing Molly Ringwald in her late 50s now. You know, it's like, wow, what the hell happened?
Well, Molly, Patricia says Molly is in the show Riverdale. She plays Archie's mom. Yeah, that makes me feel really old because I used to read the Archie comics.
Archie's Digest.
Oh, yeah, Archie's Digest. I love those damn things, man. Picked one up every week at the damn grocery store.
What's that Richie up to now?
Oh,
Jughead.
This. Maybe I just grew up naive or just stayed away from people a lot, even when I was younger. I actually just really want to ask this question because I want to make Colonel uncomfortable, but do 14-year-olds give hand jobs? Really?
Handies. The term is handies.
Handies?
These days
sure
they do.
I'm sure there's some girls out there doing the fucking 14. I didn't know any.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You know how they have like the first base, second base, third base, home run thing? Well, the handy is now warming up in the batter's box by today's standards. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus.
The practice swing.
Wow. That's pretty sad. Yeah, Colonel's got a damn near preteen daughter, right?
Preteen, yeah.
Or she is preteen.
Dude, yeah. Well, it depends on which one you're talking about.
Well, that one, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to mention names or anything, so. Yeah. Are you worried about that with her?
Of course. I like to think I raised her better than that. And make good decisions for herself, but like any other parent, I'm not always going to be there. Look over her fucking shoulder and shit like that. So
you just need to instill the advice you give at the end of every show and everything will be fine.
I feel
like don't do nothing. There's a time and place for everything. It's called college.
There you go. Now, would you rather her tell you about what she's doing, or would you rather her keep it a secret?
That's getting a little fucking personal.
All right, fair enough. Patricia says a girl in my school got pregnant at 14. Yeah, well, I'm sure it happens, but that surprised me that it was just so prevalent in this episode. I don't know why. It just was weird to me, I thought.
When I was fucking 14, I was more concerned about playing football and watching fucking wrestling because we were still in that attitude era and shit. That was my life. I wasn't even thinking about stuff like that, like, or at least trying to get anything like that to happen in real life. That's why I was a kid.
Couldn't close the deal. I
go to football practice and watch Monday Night Raw and Nitro.
Fair enough. All right, so you talked about the girl. She pulled up a good role. Did you like the brother and the friend, Ziggy?
Yeah, I mean, the friend is more... She's obviously important to the story, but, I mean, is secondary to... The brother, he's good because you're not really sure what his trip is when you first meet him, and then he starts explaining what's what, and then he starts to actually turn, and you can see... Why, it's all right. Yeah. That's cool. I dug that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Colonel, how are you?
The friend served her fucking purpose. I mean, she was there to drive the story along, but that was about it.
Yeah, that's kind of
how it was. She was the setup. It's like, okay, I could have really cared less. But the relationship between her and her brother, I thought they both did a great job, especially... When he's like, you broke out the SAT words, huh? Like, they have this real tense moment. They just bust out fucking laughing, like, holy shit. I just thought that was a nice moment.
Okay. I liked them all right. They were fine. Do we want to talk about the twist in this or the ending of this? You already said the ending sucked, but... No spoilers?
I'm just saying I don't think the ending sucked. The ending is exactly what I thought it would fucking be.
Bullshit. Too dry.
No, that's exactly what happened. Dude, that's what we've gotten this season.
Baloney.
Creep show episodes. We got nothing at the end.
How many episodes
have you seen where they cut away from the action and you just heard it while everybody else is going about their day?
That's fine.
That's exactly how I thought it would end.
This is how you needed to save this fucking episode, though. You needed to have... It involves Molly Ringwald and a final meeting they have in the office. The brother, the sister, and Molly Ringwald. And her head needed to come off. Okay, they needed to spurt it out and bloody it up. And this would have been probably near the top of the episode list. It would definitely be up there with them first couple we saw. But they didn't do that, did they? No. So the ending sucked.
You did get the aftermath of a beheading of somebody, not Molly Ringwald, but, you know.
Dude, all the money went into the "it wasn't syrup" story.
Right.
That's obvious. Which I thought the makeup for that was pretty good for what it was. I mean, it looked cheesy because you can tell that mandible was not fucking closing. It was just...
Dude, I'm not discounting any of the things we saw up to the end, but man, you should have saved a couple of buckets, one bucket, a half a bucket for the end there, man. Throw it on the fucking wall or something. Give me something. Don't show me a bunch of kids just leaving for the night for school. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, that seemed like stock footage almost, like weird. I don't know. That seems so out of place, but
yeah,
I don't know. Do you guys want to rank these two or rate them? I should say.
Fuck it, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, sure.
Colonel, start with the right snuff, 1 to 10, I guess, or 0 to 10. Right
snuff. I'll be honest. I thought it was gonna be an episode about, you know, snuff shit, because I thought it was funny because it's right snuff. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it wasn't bad. Some high tension. You really feel the tension in the air. And with Zag, I think this would have worked better as a standalone episode. We would have got a whole 44 minutes of this, because it seemed kind of, the march into madness seemed a little rushed.
Mm.
Great ending, though. There's no argument on that one between me and Zag. Great ending. But I still have to give it 5.5 because it fucking dragged a little bit.
Yeah. But you just said you wanted to see more of it.
Because that dragging would have made a little more sense, though. Because, like I said, you could have really seen the descent into fucking madness, where this one was just like, big shadow, big shadow, big shadow. Brah, 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 and then you had to deal with that. And you really didn't see him getting there. Just kind of like, and it's, well, then boom.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting interviewed on like a CNN live from their spaceship, and basically the reporter goes like, oh, well, yeah, well, the fact that your father was the first man to walk on Mars, well, that's one shadow you really can't escape, can you? Mm-hmm. and right away you see he's all like,
fuck this bitch.
Oh, yeah, there's our issue. That's our issue. He's in daddy's shadow and can't escape. And yes, it's very rushed. That threat, very much, right. Yeah. But
all right,
so I get my score ranking. There. Yeah, okay, yeah. Ranking. Since I'll just finish the thought on it, but the episode is pretty strong. I mean, it does have, albeit there is a bit of a good effect in there that happens to one of them that you know, you see it again cleverly. You don't get a direct view of the violence happening.
It's right,
the monitor from, you know, you see. Right. You know, so, but it's still cool, and I did enjoy it. And the ending's phenomenal with the level of dread they delivered, and just the fact that this guy is more fucked than anybody has ever been fucked on the planet when it gets to the ending. And that's what I really dug that and appreciate it. And therefore, I'm going to give this episode, The Right Snuff, a 6.5.
I'm right in the middle of you guys. I'm going to give it a 6, and I'm going to keep it pretty simple with that, because this, I don't know. I want more. I don't know what I exactly want, but I just know I want more. And I think I've just been expecting more from Creepshow. We'll get to the rating of sibling rivalry here in a second, but Patricia asked a good question. Who had the better lipstick scene, The Breakfast Club or Night of the Demons?
Dude, I don't even need to think about it. I see Zag thinking. He could think on it. This is a no fucking brainer to me. Night of the Demons. Come on.
I guess I'm in that.
Rocking those D cups now, but she wasn't in fucking 84.
She certainly was.
She already was, man. So.
But this was when Little Zigzag was becoming Zigzag, dropping the Lil title, and things were moving around down below. So Molly was in that, you know, in that fantasy realm for me, so I don't know, man. I'm gonna say it. The Breakfast Club. That had an effect on me when I was that age, at 13 or whatever I was.
Molly was a doll, man. She was like the poster child for a while. Just
fucking tasty in The Breakfast Club too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, out of those two, I would say The Breakfast Club, personally, and that's probably just my age showing and Ziggy's age showing because of the, you know.
See, real quick, though, I'm not going to say you guys are wrong, because it's fine. Like I said, obviously, I wasn't watching Breakfast Club when I was 13. All right, I think I was born that year. I think it came out, what, 84?
Mm.
Yeah.
Colonel wasn't on the planet when that motherfucker first premiered in the theaters, all right? So, I got a different point of view on this. This has nothing to do with the lipstick scene. What's her name? Ally Sheedy?
Mm-hmm.
Was hot as fuck until they dolled her mm-hmm. up. Then it's like, what the fuck did you do? You ruined yeah. her. She was better than my
Yeah, I always dug Ally Sheedy, too. Patricia, I'm actually going to raise you on top of which had the better lipstick scene. I'm going to mention a movie called Secret of My Success with Michael J. Fox. There's a great lipstick scene in there set later. To that. Hmm?
Oh, yeah. It's the mother when he's driving mm-hmm. her back to the house. Right.
And it's got that, oh, yeah, song going on with it. It's perfect. Dave mentions Or Grandma at the Dinner Table in Dead Alive. That's a good lipstick scene, too.
Yeah, she's like, just love that movie.
All right, let's talk about the sibling rivalry. Ziggy, what's your rating for that one?
Did not like this one as much, and the ending is what ruined it for me. You know, it is clever, and it is, and you'll chuckle a couple of times just at the approach by the girl. But in the end, man, this is the example. Like just a little bit of blood or a little bit of something would have probably bumped it up higher. But 5.5.
Okay, Colonel, how about you?
I thought this was a fun watch. Like I said, very predictable. When you got the blood, you fucking got it. I was more than satisfied with what I got. Grant, I'll admit with Zag, not the best ending, but I don't think it was total shit. It was a very predictable ending I expected. I really liked the chemistry between the brother and the sister. The acting was good. I'll give it a 6.5. I enjoyed this one.
Okay. Again, maybe I'm just having a weird day because this didn't hit me much at all. So I'm going to give this one a 6, too. It was good. It just wasn't great. I'm in a weird spot today, maybe.
Hmm.
Maybe I got shit on my mind. I just don't realize it yet.
Maybe you need to go get a handy, Jay.
Maybe I could use a handy.
Apparently there's that woman that walks around the lot back and forth all day. It just can't be hard for you to get one.
That one over there? Yeah, no. Pass. Hard pass. Thank you very much.
Why are those rubber fucking gloves?
Hey, I just saw that. I don't know if he's still here or not, but I just saw that Charles Sherrod Jr.'s name popped up as watching. Dude, hope you're doing. If you're in here, hope you're doing okay, man.
Yeah,
we miss you in the. We miss you on Mondays, and we heard about your accident not too long ago. Jesus, dude, hope you're doing all right. And, you know, hit us up and let us know, man. Send us a message or something. Just say hey.
Charles, positive power to you, my friend. Now he's going to be cured. He'll be just fine.
All right. Well, we will be back. I didn't look this up. We will be back next week with another Creep Show / report talking about the next episode, which will include the stories Pipe Screams and I can't read that. Within the Walls of Madness. That's what it is. All right. So there you go. I don't know. It sounds like a complicated drain clog is the thing with Pipe Screams. And then scientists fight to contain the creature they've been studying. I like that. That sounds like a good, promising push. So let's see what happens. Anything else to add tonight?
No, I think we're good.
Fulci Cat in the Brain DVD. I'm going to check out, pop in here and take a look at. Been a while since I've seen this one. Happy to have it. That's all I got.
Colonel?
No. Don't get sick. Wash your dick. Don't smoke Scuba Steve. Use Summer's Eve because it is past my bedtime. So I will be going to bed within the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, it is. Like that's why I'm trying to wrap this up. All right. Don't forget to subscribe, gang. If you haven't already, please do. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and Twitch. And make sure to get over to our shop and check that out. We got some new goodies on there. We got more coming real soon. We're just trying to drop something in there once a week. You know, something new for you guys. Don't forget to check out our website, deathcursesociety.com. Become a member like these fellas and galas. Would it be fellas and galas?
Eh, whatever.
We got a new one just the other day. Angelo joined us in the Crazy Ralph department. Then we got Chris, Lorena, Christy, Luke, and Tyrone as our final girls and guys. Appreciate you guys for helping us out and supporting the society. Woo! Let's see. What else we got? We got next week we'll be doing Monday. We're doing top five of 1974.
Oh, man. And
Tuesday, we'll start dropping segments for the new episode. So,
just so you guys know, I've got my number one for 74 and fucking marker. It's not changing.
What shirt is he wearing? That might be a clue.
It is not a clue.
Nope, certainly not.
About 40 years too soon.
All right. Well, Colonel's already given his health advice for the night, so... thank you guys for watching. We appreciate you being here. Join us next week for another Creep Show slash report. And
we'll see you Monday.
we'll see you on Monday. Until then, have a good night. And wow.